1 Kings chapter 17. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach tonight. Always a privilege and an honor to open God's word. 1 Kings chapter 17 in your Bibles. We find here in this text that Israel, God's chosen people, had come to the place after sinning over and over again that God could only find wickedness in the nation. And he was looking for somebody to turn the wicked hearts back to God. God was looking for a man who would stand up and preach against the sins of the people and turn the nation back to him. You see, Israel had forgotten all that God had done for them, all the good that he had done. And they had fallen into the idol worship of Baal. We find in this account a man by the name of Elijah, who is called as God's man to stand against the sins of this people. The sermon tonight is simply entitled, Before the Fire Can Fall. Before the Fire Can Fall. Let's all stand together out of respect of God's word. 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for being so good. Thank you for your faithfulness. God, I pray that you would use me now. Fill me with your spirit and anoint me with your power. Please bless your word. I pray all of this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. The story and transformation of a caterpillar is really quite amazing. The caterpillar has four stages in its life. They start as an egg, then come out as a caterpillar. Where in this stage, they eat and eat for about 2 weeks. 2 weeks straight, nothing but eating and eating. I think some of us are caught up in that same stage sometimes. They eat and eat for about 2 weeks. After this, they enter what is called a cocoon. And this is the most vital part of the caterpillar's life. It is here in the cocoon when the tissue, limbs, and organs of a caterpillar are all being transformed. However, if the caterpillar breaks away too early, it will not make it. It won't survive. His wings won't be near strong enough. It is in the difficult process of breaking out of the cocoon that the butterfly becomes strong, strong enough to fly. Friend, God does not want us to simply arrive at our calling or just survive in Christian living. He desires for us to be successful in it, having a successful and a flourishing walk with God. That's why God tests us. That's why God allows trials to come our way. He strengthens us in the test so that we can be successful. In this sermon tonight, we'll see three tests that we must face before God will greatly use us. Again, there's no question that God greatly used this man called Elijah. Perhaps the most common story or account in Elijah's life, by the way, I say story, but that actually happened. Take your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. We find here the showdown between God and Baal. 1 Kings 18, we see that Israel had fallen into idolatry yet again, and God was looking for somebody to call out the sins of the people. Again, they had fallen into idol worship. Let me pause for a second. What is on the throne of your life where Christ ought to be? Or what is on the throne of your life where Christ used to be? So many times we too have idols in our lives. That's anything that takes the place of God. The Israelites had fallen into the sin of idolatry. And God called Elijah to show just how powerful and alive our God is. They reached an agreement here in this passage that whichever God could answer by fire, he was the true God. Look at verse 23. Chapter 18, verse 23, the Bible says, Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. Verse 26, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. Verse 28, and it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You can see the desperation here of the prophets of Baal. They were crying out to Baal, Baal, hear us. They were on the altar. They were cutting themselves. The desperation for Baal to hear them. But nothing. Then you have over here Elijah in the corner mocking them. Hey, maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's on a journey. In the Hebrew, maybe he's at In-N-Out. But nothing. No answer whatsoever. Look at verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Verse 38, I love it. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Then the fire of the Lord fell. That is incredible. He prayed. The Lord came through. The altar, the water, sacrifice, everything was licked up. God showed his power. By the way, that's the same God that we serve today. God showed his power. Verse 39, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. There was a great victory here that took place. God showed himself real. However, before any of this could take place, before Mount Carmel, God had to break and prepare Elijah. Friend, before we can see God do some great victories in our lives, before we can see his mighty hand at work, even here at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, we need to be proven. And we too need to undergo some testing. Elijah was a man that was used by God to stand up to the wicked idolatry of Baal worship in this day. In 1 Kings chapter 17, go back to chapter 17, there are three tests that we must face before God will greatly use us. Three tests. Number one, God will prove our consecration to him. Number one, God will prove our consecration to him. Look at verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, our consecration, number one, is manifested in boldness. That word consecration means a solemn commitment of your life or your time to some cherished purpose. Elijah steps on the scene here without any description or background. The first time that we see Elijah, he was pronouncing judgment for the evil of the land. By the way, this took a great deal of boldness. He very easily could have lost his life for doing this. Ahab was the most wicked king that Israel had ever known. In his marriage to the pagan princess Jezebel, the worship of Baal flooded the country. When Elijah went to pronounce judgment, it was at the risk of his own life. Let me ask you, how is your boldness tonight? We're not standing before a wicked king, but we're standing in front of wicked people who are dying and going to hell. How's your boldness tonight? The story is told of the great preacher, D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody made a commitment to God that he would witness to at least one person every day of his life. One day, Moody witnessed to a man who responded with hostility and said, My eternal destiny is none of your business. Moody replied, "It is my only business. I must tell you of Christ." That man answered quickly, "You must be D.L. Moody." God wants some people who are bold and willing to take a stand for him. Number one, our consecration is manifested in boldness. Number two, our consecration is manifested in allegiance. Elijah's allegiance is found in the statement, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." This means the God whom I represent, or the God in whose name I speak. Allegiance is devotion or loyalty. It is the duty of a subject to his sovereign. This was an act of allegiance. Have you been standing up for the Lord? Have you been standing up for what is right? Where does your allegiance lie? Friend, God is not going to use you on Mount Carmel if you don't stand for him in the small areas of your life now. Purpose now, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, I will do right." We are ambassadors for Christ. We come on behalf of the true and the living God. "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, I purpose to live right, to do right, and be bold in the face of opposition." There is a spiritual battle out there. Are you a good representation of Christ? God will prove us before he uses us. He wants to first prove our consecration or commitment to him. Secondly, God will prove our comprehension of him. God will prove our comprehension of him. Again, look at verse number one. "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth." As the Lord God of Israel liveth. Number one, we must know that God is the living God. Elijah was coming with the message of the only true God. In order for him to be so bold in his proclamation, Elijah had to be convinced that Jehovah was the living God. There was a ton at stake here, his very own life. He had to know that God was alive. It made it a whole lot easier for Elijah to be bold on Mount Carmel, knowing that his God was alive. Elijah had to be convinced and 100% sure that his God was the true and living God. I'm so thankful tonight that we do not bow down before a marble statue, a lifeless image that cannot see, hear, feel, or think, nor do we worship nature or man. Our God is not carved out of a stump. We worship the true and living God who created us, who watches over us, who loves us, who hears our prayers, and who intervenes for us every day. Our God is alive, the living and true God, meaning he has life in and of himself. He is the fountain of life to others. He is the true God because he is truth itself. He cannot lie. He faithfully performs all his promises, and he is to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, no matter what men may say. That's the God that we serve. Our God is alive. So thankful for that promise this evening. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, he was alive in Israel's day. And friend, he is still alive today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe if we truly grab the hold of this thought, of the reality of God, it would transform the way that we live. If we truly grabbed a hold of the reality of God, it would transform the way that we worship. It would transform the way that we sing. We just sang, "I love you, Lord." What a great song. "I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear." If we truly grasp the reality of God, it would transform the way that we witness. Friend, our God is alive. We have good news. What are you telling about this God? First of all, we must know that God is alive. Number two, we must know that God is in control. The people of Israel were depending upon Baal for the rain here in this chapter. They were convinced that Baal was in control and could provide this rain. Elijah stands and announces that there was about to be a great drought in Israel, and he says, "Hey, there isn't any rain coming. My God is in control." Friend, even though it seems that evil is dominating our world God wants us to know that he is in control. God is still on the throne. He is ruling and reigning today. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has given us the victory. The choir sang on Sunday, nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God. Our God is victorious. He always wins. God will prove us before he uses us. We have seen that God will prove our consecration to him and our comprehension of him. Finally, God will prove our confidence in him. God will prove our confidence in him. Look at verse number 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. First of all, we must have confidence in God's protection. We must have confidence in God's protection. If you are doing what God wants you to do, God will protect you. God will take care of his servants. I once heard a man say, you are indestructible until the Lord has finished using you. Indestructible. God protects the man who is doing his work. Psalm 3:3, the Bible says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Psalm 119:114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. When it comes to standing up and being bold and doing what is right, it makes it a lot easier knowing that you have God's protection. Not only must we have confidence in God's protection, but lastly tonight, we must have confidence in his provision. Look at verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. We must remember that at this time, it was a time of great drought in the land. When Elijah fled to Cherith, God made a promise to him. He said, it shall be, I will take care of you. I can think of several times when God has met our needs. I think in Bible college, there were several times when it came time for midterms and finals and the finances just weren't there. And my parents had exhausted their resources. I had exhausted mine. And we were just praying, God, I know you want me here, but you got to do something. And I could think of a couple times where the money would come in just the day before, and God provided. God is so good. I'm sure we all have stories similar to that, where, you know what, our back was up against the wall, and God came through. God provided. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. It has been well said, what God orders, he pays for. God wanted Elijah to be proven in his consecration, comprehension, and confidence in him. He wanted to test Elijah in these areas so that he could be used greatly by God on Mount Carmel. God has a desire to use every person in this room tonight. No matter your age, status, race, he wants to use us to win people to Christ. God wants to take us and use us in Mount Carmel situations. However, before we get to Carmel, we must first go to Cherith, and God will prove us before he uses us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for being our living, almighty, and all-powerful God. You are so good to us. Thank you for this time we've spent in your word. And love you, pray all this in your name. Amen. Let's all stand together as the piano plays.